autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Oscar's freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
The blood is filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not, your heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. Your neurobiological system is telling it to run, but your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. Revolution. Radio!
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Going for full Stockholm Syndrome takeover because they know at least 30% of the public, mainly women, will go under Stockholm Syndrome because this is so authoritarian, they can't believe it's actually happening. And they are going to submit to the tyranny. Nothing against women, but it's known in every psychological study and going back to Rome and Babylon that when an army would take over a city, most of the women within minutes would start fighting for the enemy as soon as it was clear that the enemy had taken over. And they would rat out their husbands, rat out their children, help execute them if they thought it was for the good of the community. That's why when a country's conquered or a place is conquered, you don't kill the women. That's why who was the house slave in Rome? In Africa, who were the house slaves? Africans had as many slaves as anybody. You brought women in the house. You kept the men out in the fields. And that's the system. And so women are going under Stockholm Syndrome. Now, a lot of cucked men are wearing the mask and virtue signaling and wanting to stay in and wanting to get their Uber Eats and wanting to commute because they think it's fun and cute and they drink gallons of soy a day. But this is the total diabolical takeover, where, again, it's so over the top on purpose to get a lot of people to be subconsciously scared. So they go, well, this couldn't be a takeover. I'm just going to submit to it. Incredible. I have a stack of just unbelievable COVID-19 news, but just look at this stack, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. So now we're on the air.
Okay. So March 30th, 2021.
Sorry for the delay, but we cannot reach the host of the show.
Our host is missing in action or busy in action. One of the two.
Yeah. Something came up, all right. So this is Cowgirl, Cousin Bob, and Nick Pearson. And so here we are. And we thank you, Nick, for programming for us today.
No problem.
Last night, I did send both Nick and Nikki. It's kind of confusing for me, but I get it straight most of the time. I sent you guys both a 17-minute MedBed video.
Oh, good.
It's really, really good. You know, I went to that 5G conference in Las Vegas, and it was excellent, and MedBeds were a topic. And, you know, it's going to put us in a golden age eventually, because we're going to be, you know, all our ailments are going to be rectified to our utmost physical, when our body was at its utmost. So you'll be restored. Nick, no back pain.
Well, yeah, that
would be, nice for a change. Let me tell you.
Well, yeah, and then we could get on with other important matters, such as trying to get Earth elevated into the Intergalactic Federation of Light, and hopefully there'll be war. I mean, if people have abundance, and supposedly everyone's going to get a basic income, and your debts are going to be resolved, what the heck do you have to concern yourself up except things that you're very interested in? Hopefully it won't be little boys and little girls, but
only if you become one of the power elites. That's when that comes into play.
Yeah. I mean, look at that ship in which, of course, I guess they got it out of the Suez Canal. Said, they got it moving, or it got it on the side.
Yeah, they said they got it loose.
So, but it brought everybody's attention on what could be in those cargo containers. There could be kids, there could be weapons, there could be drugs, there could be body organ parts, and there could be little kids. And you, adult humans being trafficked all around the world to the elites to have them as, you know, house slaves.
Yeah, they're probably going to bring them on. It was on its way to Mexico, so they could smuggle it across the border here.
Oh, right,
that seems
right.
To be all they're doing right now.
Well,
you guys, I know you talk. I got a comment. I don't know how. I know a guy who was working for a company who made cages to put outside of the cargo containers. So when they opened the cargo containers, the stowaways that he called them would not escape. And so he said that it was very common that there were stowaways in those cargo containers. But he was calling them stowaways, not as if they were.
You have to put that in quotes, stowaways.
Basically, that's what he said. They were the company he worked for said the cages were to be put so that then they could open the carton containers and the stowaways could not escape.
Yeah.
That's what he did. He worked for a company when you tell me that they transport people in there, it's like, oh, yeah, well, yeah, my friend.
Yeah, they also, the Club Kharishnikov. Also, they have those missiles that could fit. Those five missiles, I don't know if they're anti-missiles or pro-missiles, whatever, but they fit right perfectly. I think the Russians developed it. They fit in those cargo containers, and apparently the Chinese have many, many throughout the United States.
Hey, we got Wendy now.
Okay, all right.
I'm just trying to figure out how to get a hold of Greg. I was looking for my other phone so I could call him.
We don't have to call Greg until 10.
Okay. When do you want to call Mark?
10.
10 o'clock for Mark, too?
Yeah, 10 o'clock. I want both of them on.
Okay.
Because I think Mark will have a couple of
examples. So, Bob, this is an example of compartmentalization.
Yes.
Yes, because... Yes. No, somebody knows part of the story, but not the whole story. Just like I heard about the guy he made those little cages to put outside the containers. Yeah, and so But then you tell me that, you know, they might be actually transporting and they're not just so. And then so, you know, but they tell one person one thing and another person another thing that are the little workers out there. It's probably the same thing when they're, you know, making pharmaceuticals and so on.
Or when they're making an atom bomb for Hiroshima and Nagasaki with the Manhattan Project. Really, not too many people knew the whole scheme of it, which is ingenious. I don't know how they did that. I don't know. Nick, how did they do that? Nick?
Well, you know, what happens, they get to a certain point, and then the other guy transfers, they put everything together.
Press 2 to skip, or 3 to replay this message from CVS Pharmacy.
What?
Uh-oh.
What was that?
I have no idea.
Yeah,
this is CVS Pharmacy. We tried reaching you to see if you prefer a convenient 3-month supplies. Call your pharmacy team at 951-652-0866 if you prefer 3-month supplies whenever your insurance allows it. Again, this is CVS Pharmacy. We tried reaching you to see if you prefer a convenient 3-month supplies. Call your pharmacy team at 951-652-0866 if you prefer 3-month supplies whenever your insurance allows it. Thank you for choosing CVS Pharmacy. Goodbye.
Wendy, you have a hard time.
All right. CVS owes us money for a plug.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But you know, there's how many times I've gotten calls, you can get your COVID vaccine.
Oh, God.
Like, no, thank you. No, thank you.
No,
there's more and more.
They're upping the propaganda.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Nikki.
No, they're upping the propaganda. They're, you know, it's more and more and more. And more people are starting to believe they should get the shot. And then.
Well, they want to get 200 million Americans.
Yeah, they're going after America big time. They're just like, yeah, they're going after America big time.
Oh, I just saw a video. Oh my gosh, I just saw a video this morning that said that we're going on and on about vaccinated people getting together with non-vaccinated people, and that this could be a problem, that could be a problem, but you still have to wear
a mask. Oh my God.
Second siege, and then the next wave, and so they're trying. In other words, they're never letting us out of the mask. They're never letting us out of social distancing, and they're just going to come up with one vaccine after another.
Yeah, and they because AstraZeneca was getting banned all across Europe because it was creating blood clots in people. Well, they tried to do a little magic trick, so they just renamed it.
Oh my God!
They put it in a different name, exactly the same vaccine, but they just changed its name to Vaxzevria.
Oh my God! I heard that 7 to 9 countries in Europe have banned it, Nick.
Yeah, they did. They were having health problems because of it.
AstraZeneca, not the new one.
No, they changed the name of AstraZeneca.
I know.
Yeah.
Everything is a farce. Everything is so bad.
You got to be crazy to take this stuff, man. Just crazy. It's not even logical.
You have to be a sheep. You have to be a non-thinking sheep. Going along with the herd mentality.
They've done such a number, Nick, on the propaganda since last March.
Oh, that's unbelievable. Unbelievable amounts. And now they came up with a new report to please the Chinese, that the WHO, you know, the World Health Organization, came out with a report that said, well, you know, the virus didn't come from China, so but the WHO controls, or the WHO is controlled by China, so what do you think the report's going to say? So,
well, it was manufactured and developed at one of our. Which one was it? Back east.
Plum Island, you mean? Yeah, the bioweapons lab.
Well, there's a bioweapons lab at Fort Detrick. I don't know. Whatever.
Well, the only reason, you know, from what I've read, the only reason they moved it to China is because of the Geneva Convention against bioweapons development. And in the United, if they were developing this in the United States, as far as they had gotten at the time, they were in serious possibility of violating Geneva Convention. So they had to move it to China because China doesn't belong to that.
Right.
But and then now again,
the Biden administration has said, "Oh, it's not the Chinese fault or something."
Oh yeah, they're all saying it's not the Chinese fault.
Oh my lord.
So, but then again, you know, you got to look at the China. Well, yes, it came from China, but it was like developers over here that had to move it over there. By the way, Fauci just came up with a new one too. Now you gotta try to think of the convoluted logic that goes along with this. Okay, so they've been saying that they found the variants on the COVID-19, right? So he came out and said, well, he wants you to know that you may be sick with an illness, but you have no symptoms, and it cannot be verified with a test to confirm you have it, which is why you still need to wear a mask.
Oh, my God. This is – oh, my God. And they've done a number on America thinking – that the mask is normal, and it is not normal. This is not normal.
No, it was never supposed to be. This is all about
this is a controlled mechanism to scare the pants off of people, to lie to them, to cheat them, and if you continue to wear a mask, all it's going to do is hurt your own health.
Yeah, but people don't
listen.
People don't want to hear that part. They want to hear all the good stuff, but none of the harsh truth that goes along with it.
Oh, my Lord.
You know,
it's bad.
I don't wear my mask much at all. I mean, I wear the chin strap, okay? But I got to tell you, it still goes. My right ear is getting irritated from the damn straps around the ear. It's getting me pissed off. My right ear. Where it loops around.
I'm just wondering when the real breaking point is going to be. See, that's the thing that bothers me most is people keep going, well, you know, 15 days till we flatten the curve. A year later, they're still doing it and they're making it worse. You know, at what point are people going to really, really break? And I'm not talking about the people that have looked at all this stuff and know what's going on, but hold on.
Okay, and for all people, 45office.com, I believe that's the Trump, one of his media.
What is it, Bob?
I'm going to go make sure it's on here. 45office.com.
45office.com, is that a website or?
The office, yeah. It's the office of Donald J. Trump.
Oh, I see.
This started.
Okay. They finally
are you aware?
I can talk again.
So anyways, I was just telling everybody 45office.com is the Donald Trump website, which is going to be pretty cool. You'll be able to, I don't know if it's that one. There's another one. They're starting to come out, but I think the official one is 45.com, 45office.com.
Yeah, and he just came up with a statement too about Fauci and Burks.
Oh God!
Which was actually pretty good, and this was a couple of days ago, and he said, based on their interviews, I felt it was the time to speak about Fauci and Burks, two self-promoters trying to reinvent history to cover for their bad instincts and faulty recommendations, which I fortunately almost always overturn. They had bad policy decisions that would have left our country open to China and others close to reopening our economy and years away from approved vaccine, putting millions of lives at risk. Now, see, that's the part that bothers me with Trump is he's still pushing the vaccine thing.
Yeah, I know.
They got to him.
Oh, one of the other things that he said in this statement that he said, in a fake interview last night on CNN, Fauci, who said he was an athlete in college but couldn't throw a baseball even close to home plate, tried to take credit for the vaccine. That's pretty funny.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's all...
Yeah, he slammed that pretty good.
Okay. By the way, guys, I believe it or not, my phone, I was something. I'm going, Nick's telling me how much phone gate on. I thought, well, let me check my phone. And then I picked up, and I noticed one of my cords wasn't plugged in. So I plugged it in, and I checked the back of the phone. I'm like, okay, here we go. And then I heard you guys talking, and I started laughing.
Technology.
I'm like, okay, it's one of those mornings. By the way, Nick, did my buddy send you the thing to play on the doctor?
Let me check. Get back to my... Let's see. What was the name of the video?
That one, I don't know. She said she called you. She sent it to you.
She sent it to my email?
Did she call you?
No.
My buddy called you?
No. I never got a call. Oh, maybe. It's possible.
Okay. She sent it to you. Okay. I
sent him something on the med bed.
I got that one. I have that.
Okay. I don't know this doctor's name either.
Okay.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I think I got her.
I've been trying to get this done for the last couple of days, and I just had to send it to you and another buddy of mine, and I think she. I don't. So you don't have it, do you?
Let me check. Hold on. I'm checking something. Hold on. Give me a minute on this.
Okay. So when I heard yesterday that 7 to 9 countries have just completely now just stopped going in Europe, I was like, oh, that's great. But there's now big backlash on this. But that's in Europe right now. But the propaganda in America, and this is another thing, Arizona is open. I mean, they're not wearing masks. They're out and about. But now... If somebody in California said, you need to go to your employer and tell them that you need to still be wearing a mask and it's for your safety. It's such garbage. I can't see straight. It's a bad scene, boy. I'll tell you, it's a bad scene.
Well, it depends. It's an intelligent curve, because everybody at that 5D conference did not want to wear a mask, especially when they were watching the information being dispensed all day in the room.
Yeah. See if I can find.
And we were threatened that they would shut off, that they would stop the convention if we did not wear the mask. And then they changed it. Well, please, when you guys leave in mass and go out to the casino, they don't want, 200, 300 people going out without masks. So they said, please, when you leave, wear your mask.
Oh,
so,
yeah, and now you have the director of the NIH who's freaking out, trying to get everybody convinced to wear the mask. Mm. And said... said, well, people have, oh, and it's all, of course, it's all based on, like, of course, he's a racist, too, so what do you want? Black people have the reasons to be somewhat doubtful of vaccine due to the Tuskegee experiment. Christians have a fetal tissue issue. Half of the Republican men believe that there's a political agenda tied to it. Of course, there's a political agenda tied to it. But he's saying the same thing that I talked about on that John Hopkins publication. They say they want to change their messaging so that they can get people to be convinced to get it. And because,
right.
The fear thing just isn't quite working as well as they thought it was going to.
Right.
I'm trying to see if there's a clip to this, but it doesn't look like there is. It's all written. But I'm trying to find this other clip of... the director, I think it's the CD, director of the Health and Human Services, and she's like, I can't believe, people don't want to do this. She's just like losing her mind that people aren't going along with every edict that they put out.
Oh, my Lord. I've got to make sure now that when I want to play something, I've got to go directly. I tried to get a hold of you, Nick, last night, but I couldn't. I figured you were just out and about doing things, and just, oh, yesterday was a crazy day for me. Yeah, I just, I heard this doctor speak, and he was fantastic. I only got, I heard about 4 or 5 minutes. I was like, oh, wow, we got to play this. But I just, I don't know. I don't even know the guy's name now. I just, oh, my Lord. Okay, so I'll try to, I'll try to call my buddy again and see if I can get this to you and just have her call you directly and then have a phone. I'll just give you the phone number.
Okay.
And then that will just end it. So I can,
well,
but,
well, it's real interesting right now. It's like that when they say that there's no political agenda tied to this. Why is Joe Biden trying to work with the UN to create global passports then?
Oh, I know. Can you imagine? They wanna have passports so you can't travel, you can't buy anything. That's the mark of the beast. I mean,
yeah.
You don't even have to be real religious to understand this.
Yeah,
and the
exactly.
fact that he wants to go through the United Nations because he's told the U.S. military if they don't take this, that they'll all become buck privates.
Oh, that yeah, that's in the military. If they don't follow orders, they're all going to get busted down.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
So.
Yeah.
I got this clip. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Hey, I had to skip a bunch of ads here. And, yeah, she's like freaking out, saying, you know, I can't believe that people aren't going to go along with this. Right now, I'm scared. Can you get, hold on 1 second. I got to hook the speakers up so you can hear this. Otherwise,
sure,
it's going to have to sound like anything. So give me 1 minute.
Okay, you got to listen to this. This is the director of the CDC, by the way.
Physician, when you're the healthcare provider and you're worried that you don't have the resources to take care of the patients privately. I know that feeling of nausea when you read the crisis standards of care and you wonder whether there are going to be enough ventilators to go around and who's going to make that choice. And I know what it's like to pull up to your hospital every day and see the extra morgue sitting outside. I didn't know at the time when it would stop. We didn't have the science to tell us. We were just scared. We have come such a long way. 3 historic scientific breakthrough vaccines, and we are rolling them out so very fast. So I'm speaking today not necessarily as your CDC director, not only as your CDC director, but as a wife, as a mother, as a daughter, to ask you to just please hold on a little while longer.
Okay, and it's really funny to watch her because she's getting like all emotional. Oh, come on, you gotta be kidding me. Did you guys hear any of that?
I heard some.
Yeah, okay. That microphone cable popped out. I'm having a real Murphy's Law techno day here.
Okay.
let me redo this. But what you gotta keep in mind though is that she's like getting all emotional. She's an actress, by the way, not a director of the CDC. And so she's trying to do what they usually do and pull the emotional card.
Well, you know, the CDC is saying that there's like been 11,500, but that number is way too low. It's not even accurate. It's
yeah, they had to. They had to read.
That was 6 months ago.
Yeah, they had to revise all their COVID death numbers because they found out that a lot of them were just from all kinds of other incidents that happened, motorcycle accidents, you know, heart attacks, comorbidities, and all that. And they found that the direct cause of death from COVID was so low, it was stupid. It was like only 6% of what they were bragging about. Okay, I think I got it queued up right. So go ahead, I'll give you a listen to this.
You have nausea when you read the crisis standards of care and you wonder whether there are going to be enough ventilators to go around and who's going to make that choice. And I know what it's like to pull up to your hospital every day and see the extra morgue sitting outside. I didn't know at the time when it would stop. We didn't have the science to tell us. We were just scared. We have come such a long way. Three historic scientific breakthrough vaccines, and we are rolling them out so very fast. So I'm speaking today not necessarily as your CDC director, and not only as your CDC director, but as a wife, as a mother, as a daughter, to ask you to just please hold on a little while longer.
Yeah, hold on a little while longer. Dana, did you hear how she propagandized the whole thing?
Yeah.
It wasn't like, here are the facts, here's the numbers, here's the reasons you should or should not be worried or any of that. It's, we were scared, and she's got that little I'm crying thing in my voice, getting all emotional, whatever. She's playing on your emotions. She's not playing on facts at all. I'm a wife, a mother, and all of that. And so they're rebranding their messaging now, not on a based on an argument to deal with statistics and numbers and facts. It's all emotion now. This is the same thing that the left always does when they want to try to win an argument with you. If you ever listen to them, if you've ever had an argument with a leftist liberal, it's never facts. It's always based on their emotion. And this is what Thomas Sowell said. And one of his quotes that I like is like, it's not that Johnny can't read. It's that Johnny can't think. Johnny has never been taught to think. They confuse thinking with feelings. And that's what they're trying to do now. They're trying, you know, they tried to petrify everybody before. Now they're trying to say, you know, get on to another emotion and say, please take the vaccine. Otherwise, everybody's going to die and we don't know what to do. And it's like, oh, you know, I want to.
In Germany, they won't, if one of your spouses dies, they won't give you any money for your life insurance. And they won't even sell you a life insurance policy if you took the COVID. And so you know, the insurance companies know that the jig is up with what's really in this stuff. And this is a bad situation, Nick, because you know that the insurance companies, whether in a foreign country or in a regular country, in our country, they have what you call certain things, guidelines. So you know. That they're probably doing the same thing in America now.
Yeah, it's like asking an insurance company to give you a life insurance policy for $1 million when you have late stage four cancer. You know, I've got like a month to live. Give me $1 million insurance policy. They're going to look at you like you're out of your mind.
Right.
Well, I wonder, are they paying off on COVID? Are they paying off on COVID deaths?
No, they're not. If you're in Germany, and your spouse dies, and they find out that one of them took the vaccination, they're not going to give you a dime, and you could been paying into the life insurance policy for 10, 20, 30 years. They're not going to give you a dime, and they won't even write you in a policy if you take the COVID. So this isn't something I made up.
Well, think about this. Listen, remember what Sherry Tenpenny was saying about how this is going to affect people, and within 3 months to a year, you're going to start seeing people starting to kick it off because they did take the vaccine. What insurance policy, if they knew this ahead of time, would issue a life insurance policy?
Not me.
Everything is going to be scrambled up. This is a whole human scramble.
Well, it's a genocide,
it's
not like on a national scale, like we saw with Russia and China and Germany and a few other places. This is a global genocide that they're doing. They want to knock off all of us.
Well, at least 7 billion.
Yeah,
I don't know, but they must be doing subliminal advertising, because people that said they weren't going to get it are getting it, the vaccines. And so they must be doing subliminal. When you watch the ads, there must be, you know how they did the subliminals in the 60s and 70s, I guess it was 70s. And you put one frame in so fast, you know, one frame, and it's going so fast that your brain sees it, but you don't recognize it.
Yeah, and now with digital, it's a lot easier and a lot quicker. Okay, because when they used to do the frame rates, you could actually see the frame rate. I've done that with film before, where I'd cut in one frame out, and 24 frames a second. It's not that fast. Now you're talking with 4K, and now they're up to 8K. The frame rates are going so fast, and they're so clear that, and with the way digital works, you wouldn't even notice that the frame was there at all. You would have to literally scan through that a frame at a time, and you still probably would miss it, because they could probably get it in a different way. I don't trust our government with all the stuff that they've been doing over the years. I mean, they've been working on this stuff for decades.
Oh, they can do it with color too. They can do it with color. They can put color frames in on top, or color plates in on top of another color plate. And but the eye sees it, but we don't recognize it. Yeah, they can do it that way too.
Well, I don't watch that. I mean, I don't watch that much television. But it's not to sit there and say that I don't watch something that maybe might have a commercial in it. Just listen to me. And I've seen a few commercials, and I was just absolutely appalled about the COVID-19 commercials. I was like, I tried to turn them off. I was like screaming at it. I was like, oh, you sick Nazi.
Yeah, they're doing that like every like couple of minutes. And they're coming up with all the, like we said, with the vaccine passports. You won't be able to go into stores. You won't be able to go travel. You won't be able to do anything without this COVID passport.
Can you imagine that you'll have to have, if you go into a store, they're going to ask you for a passport?
Yeah,
well, proof of vaccination. They'll be counterfeit, counterfeit certificates. That's the way it's going to end up being. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, what they've got now is not really, that's why they're going for something that's a little bit more official, because all they have now is, your nurse signs the paper. It's a very, very formal. Well,
yeah, and look who's doing it, though. Look, Joe Biden's working with the United Nations. Remember, they've been drooling at their mouths for years since they came into existence to be the one world government. That's what their entire goal was when they came out of the League of Nations after World War II. Their entire goal has been to do nothing but be the guys who are the one world government and control everything. They've done it with the gun control laws here in the United States for years, trying to say, well, you, the United States, regardless of what your constitution says, you have to follow international law. And it's just like, and some judges in our courts, in our federal courts, have said, well, we're going to start making our rulings based on international law. It's like, wait a minute, that's not how this works.
Right.
And now they want to do this. And again, they've been using this fake pandemic to enact all kinds of things that they hadn't been able to do before.
It's very scary. It's very scary, Larry, to say the least. Unfortunately, too, how many children that they've given the COVID shots to, it's just beyond words.
Not even the kids. Think about what's going to happen. Remember what this thing does. When you talk to Sherry Tenpenny and Castronoff and Fitz, it starts to rewrite your DNA.
Well, yeah.
So what's the next generation going to be?
No, but wait. So far, they are not doing kids. they are not doing kids because they're saying they're not at high risk for the virus. And I was thinking about that. Why are they not doing kids? They might be doing kids from 12 to 16. Right now they're doing 16 and above. But think about it. They indoctrinate the young ones, and then they get rid of the old ones. So they're going to have their new force is going to be their new generation is going to be they're going to be completely different.
Yeah. That's right out of 1984 right there.
It's scary, Larry, but I think it's going to come down to some of the governors telling them to go jump in a lake. You know, we're not doing this anymore.
Well, some of them have.
Yeah.
And that's one of the CDC director and Fauci and the rest of them have been saying, you know, it's really kind of concerning that these governors don't want to go along with the program. And it's just like, well, too damn bad. We need our state open and our economy to get going again and put ourselves back on a basis where we can actually operate like normal human beings again.
I agree.
So
I agree. And I think that's why a lot of states, I mean, unfortunately, California, Newsom and Garcetti are just the absolute worst.
Well, yeah, them, Gretchen Whitmer, Cuomo, he's doubling down on all of his bull, whoever's the guy who's running New Jersey, you know, but, you know, Texas opens up, Arizona opens up, Florida opens up.
Well, the Midwest, I think, is all open.
South Dakota never shut down.
Never shut down.
People in Wisconsin, in my state, for the vast majority of the state, you know, except for like Milwaukee and Madison, which are two liberal big cities there. Most of the state where I live in the rural areas are like, yeah, screw your mask. A lot of people are. I mean, a lot of people are still wearing them, but a lot of people are sitting there going, look, I'm not doing that, so goodbye.
It's a battle of the minds, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That they have done a number.
Yeah, and you can see it wearing on PC. This is the problem. When you talk about health, most people think about physical health and all of that, and they ignore the mental part of it. This has been wearing on people for a year now.
Well, you know, last year we played the Bill Bryant thing. He was the Homeland Security guy.
Yeah.
And he says, look, the COVID dies between 74 and 77 degrees. It cannot live.
Right.
But mainstream media, of course, boy, they've done a number on that one.
Yeah, but then they say, you know, even if you get the vaccine and all of that, you still have to wear a mask. And again, it's this never ending.
What's so funny is that.
And it's ridiculous because people are, I mean, they really are getting fed up with it.
But so
even the ones that I see wear the mask are fed up with it. But the problem is that they do it anyway.
Well, the thing about this is, too, Nick, even if you got the COVID shot, that doesn't guarantee you that you won't get COVID. So why the hell would you even take it?
Yeah. Oh, and then, of course, there's all they come up with the new one. There's all these new strains that are coming out. So that this vaccine won't be able to deal with. So now we have to lock down for those. And it's like, okay, they're going to keep making stuff up as they go. You know, Fauci can't make up his mind what his plan of action is because he keeps changing his mind all the time. And again, you read the Rockefeller document, read the John Hopkins one that I just was talking about last week and on Granada Forum and on my show. And it's like, they're going to keep this up forever. This is the whole thing. Remember what O'Brien said to Winston Smith in 1984. If you want to know what the future is, imagine a boot standing on the face of humanity forever. That's right. The plan.
Yeah.
And this is this whole COVID thing is just the excuse to do it.
Well, I totally agree. And I wouldn't take this if you paid me. This is just craziness to think that you're gonna stick chemicals and I've got a, well, you know, my buddy played that doctor for me for 5 minutes and I was just like, no way, we're playing this on the Tuesday show, or Friday show.
Yeah, I don't have it, so I don't.
Okay. All right, I'll try to I'll have, matter of fact, I will just have her call you direct. And that way,
okay,
you guys can have a phone conversation. That will get it done, and that won't. I won't have it again. I just don't have it. And I hate to,
like, we always sound like doom and gloom all the time, but I got to say this one. Somebody put up a really funny meme up on this anti-vax, anti-lockdown group I belong to on MeWe, and it says this guy, he's like really, he's kind of built, you know, he's in really good shape and everything. His back is facing to the camera, he's butt naked, picking through groceries in the grocery store, and somebody wrote underneath, said, "I can't believe he's not wearing a mask."
God.
I thought that was actually pretty funny.
It's like, you know, a couple weeks ago when I was in a Target, and I just had my mask just below my nose, kind of, you know, and this woman just like backed off. I go, "Hey man, it's cool, don't worry, you're good." And she was just so convinced that I, yeah, you know, yeah, it's beyond words. It's just like, yeah, it's, yeah, well, somebody... I don't wear my mask outside.
Right.
I'm in my car.
Why would you?
Right. I don't wear it in my house. I only wear it right when I walk into a store or something and I make me put one on. And otherwise, I don't have one.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody else put up another photo. It had these people, they got their masks on, but they got plastic bags over the heads.
Oh my God.
I mean, like those grocery bags, you know, a trash bag. You know, they're kind of transparent, and said, "These people are telling me to follow the science and trust the experts." Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, I'm hoping that the future looks bright, that the med beds are going to be introduced, and I'm praying that our supposed intergalactic pro brothers and entities that are watching us are going to intervene, and it's going to change everything. So,
right.
Well, I mean, I'm that's opium.
You well, know, here's the thing.
I've got a big jar of opium in my, you know, medicine cabinet.
You're going
to, you know,
anyway.
We'll see. We'll see.
Here's the thing. We were talking about the states that opened up, and we talked about, you know, mentioned Texas, and 2 weeks. 2 weeks after the media predicted a major catastrophe for Texas lifting the mask mandate, and Joe Biden said, "Oh, this is Neanderthal thinking." And well, guess what happened to Texas? The COVID cases have dropped to record lows, and hospitalizations are their lowest since October. Okay, they've been getting better since they stopped the masks and the lockdowns.
Yeah.
Is this not resonating with people? But see, the people in power don't care.
No. This is just to kill the people, to put them into conformity, to manipulate them, to mess with them. Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, and the mainstream media will ignore that little bit of information, and then they'll point
out. Totally. Oh.
They keep saying that the cases are spiking when they're actually not.
No, that's the biggest lie. Biggest lie. It's not spiking at all. Not spiking at all.
But remember, if you test positive for antibodies, well, that's another COVID case.
Oh God.
You know, if you sneeze, that's a COVID case. If you got to run, it's a COVID case. If you stub your toe, that's a COVID case. You know, you wipe out skiing down the slopes, if they get the ski slopes open, well, that's a COVID case. You're wrecking a motorcycle, it's a COVID case. So, yeah, I mean, if anybody can't see that this has just been one giant April Fool's joke at this point.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, Nick.
And there's a lot of fools out there that
run
to the stadium. It's amazing. Because they run to the parking lots of the stadiums, but then when you watch, you know, the exhibition baseball, like at Dodger Stadium, I thought they were going to open up Dodger Stadium. There wasn't anybody in the crowd on TV, but boy, the parking lots are full.
Yeah,
the
full of what?
Lots are, what's wrong with that picture? People are getting vaccinated in the parking lots, shortening their life, and they should be in the stands, and they're empty. And the players are playing, and then the players go into the dugout. They put their masks on. I mean, this is the most ridiculous thing. I mean, if people can't see it like you're saying, Nick, it's, you know, it's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's been going on this long. If their eyes ain't open to it at this point, what are you supposed to do?
You pray for them, and what you have to do is just try to get your new family and like-minded people together, and you don't wish them harm. But you know, it's like I said about the blind person. If you're standing in front of a blind person and explaining to them how great the sunset was and the blues and the oranges and the pinks, and then you tell them you can't see nothing, you stupid piece of...
Well, it's Plato's cave.
You don't want to do that.
It's Plato's cave. The people in the cave are only going to believe what they can see on the wall, and you try to explain to them, hey, why don't you take a look in the other direction? You know, cut your chains loose and go outside and see whatever. And I say, no, we know what's out there because we're looking at the shadows on the cave wall. And that, because that's all they know. And then a lot of people are so blinded by what the government tells them as being the truth that, hey, you know, they can't believe that the government lies to them. The government wouldn't lie to us. It's like, that's all they do.
Well, 9/11.
It does.
Well, you know, after 9/11, we had the Patriot Act and the TSA and all this stuff. Yeah, and, you know, they pulled it on. They pulled it over us.
Well, they pulled it over a lot of people, but not all of us. Okay, we're into the break here.
Unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever dream
torture us and bomb us, fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio. All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Hey, welcome back to the Granada Forum radio program. This is Healthy Connections with Nikki and Nick and Cousin Bob and myself. I'm going to bring on two wonderful guests, Ola Lola, Greg Coonan, and Mark Gonzalez. And Ola Lola, as you know, is one of the best products that you can take. I just ordered a bunch for us, too, so we're going to get some. But drinkyourvitamins.com, that's drinkyourvitamins.com. And they have a 1-800-800-9550, 1-800-800-9550. So it's, I brought Greg on for a reason, because he's Vice President of the World Natural Health Federation, so natural health thing. So I want to get his perspective, and I talked to him the other day, so it'll be a lot of fun. And Nick, it'll be fun for you and Bob to ask some questions. But I know with Mark too, I'm looking forward for Mark to do this too.
Adding him right now, calling him right now.
Hi, this is Mark Gonzalez. Thank you so much for calling. I'll leave your name and number at the beep, and I will get back to you as soon as possible. And since
for calling back.
All right, I'm going to try Greg.
Okay.
Okay, we
Hello.
Got Greg.
Hello. Greg?
Hi, how are you guys?
We're good. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Cool. It's good to have you, man. I want to just say Ola Lola's wonderful. I got to order some more from you. But drinkyourvitamins.com, and your toll-free phone number is 1-800-800-9550. That's 1-800-800-9550. I take it every day. I take the B and I take the packet. I just love it, and it gets me through the day like you can't believe. So I love Ola Lola, and it's really
well. We
good.
Appreciate that. You know, we're just trying to make it easy right now. You know, the world seems to have gone crazy, and they forgot how powerful vitamins are. And,
right.
You know, it's funny, you know, you got people running around right now who are talking about vaccines as though they're a gift from God. And, you know, the medical world seems to have, they seem to be functioning on two delusions. The first delusion is that pharmaceuticals work. And number two, vitamins don't. And they don't realize how powerful nutrient support is. And, of course, the irony there is, of course, they're doing everything in their power to create these synthetic ingredients that mimic Mother Nature, but yet they don't really work as well as Mother Nature. And the one downside is, of course, every single one of these products is potentially fatal.
So are you trying to tell us that vaccines are bad for you?
Well, can you imagine that there could be a potential risk with injecting yourself with a number of chemical agents?
Here's the thing, like, believe it or not, I guess you could say I'm saying that. And mass.
Well, of course, you know, the beautiful thing about vitamins is, how many deaths are attributed to vitamins? Well, I haven't seen one.
I'd probably say the number's somewhere around zero.
You know, my dad's been working over the years for almost 60 years in his medical practice and hasn't seen a single case.
Right. Greg, did you know that in the country of Germany that if you have a life insurance policy and for 10, 20, 30 years with your spouse or something, and you take the COVID shot, that they will not pay out, and they won't even write you a policy if you take the COVID shot?
Now, that's news to me. I have not heard about the legal ramifications of insurance policies in Germany related to the COVID vaccine.
And
of course the question is, well, what are these companies going to do if things become mandated by the state? I mean, this is the big fear. I was very happy to hear the governor of Florida talking either yesterday or today. I saw a video, so I wasn't sure when it was. But at least the guy is showing some sensibility about the fact that they're not going to demand that people be forced into a forced vaccination situation, and they're not going to demand that they have these passports. But it's getting pretty serious. You've got people from the CDC, you've got big tech involved with this, you got the big brother watching you, and there are some people out there who not only think you should be wearing a double mask or a triple mask and that you should be wearing it at all times wherever you go, but you should be monitored, tracked, followed, and be forced into a forced vaccination situation, and that you're going to have your freedoms infringed upon if you don't get that vaccine and if you don't have that passport. And again, they're not really allowing people to have an open discussion about immune function. In fact, we just put up a little piece on our website, which is just giving people a little insight into how do you support the immune system? How does the immune system work? What do you need if you've had exposure to things? I mean, let's face it, colds, flu, viruses, these things aren't new. And people obviously have to deal with this regardless of whether or not it's COVID. The idea that you would not support your immune system and not be able to talk about it, the fact that, you know, the system works based on vitamins and these key cofactors. It's an absurdity that people are feeling threatened about even talking about it as if they're doing something wrong by mentioning that maybe it's a good idea to get your vitamin C. And it's interesting because there are studies that are now starting to show clearly that those people who are in serious shape, who get intravenous vitamin C, do very, very well. And again, you've got to be very careful about how you phrase things, especially when it comes to social media and the powers that be, because they really, in large measure, don't want you to talk about anything outside of the conventional model, as if this vaccine is going to save absolutely everybody, as if a vaccine is 100% and it's foolproof. Right now, we have no idea what the extent of protection is, the extent of immunity is if you do the vaccine, let alone what the post effects are going to be. There's just no data.
Right.
I was just going to simply say this. I was going to say, you know, before you start throwing something new into the mix, I mean, doesn't it make a lot more sense just to kind of take a wait and see approach? I mean, look, if somebody wants to go and do this and they're willing to sacrifice themselves for mankind, you know, more power to them. But certainly don't force this and mandate this. I mean, again, get back to basics. If you're malnourished, if you have interferences with your genetic factors that interfere with your body's ability to use certain vitamins, such as there are plenty of people out there, for example, here's a big one, they have a mutation on what's called the VDR, the vitamin D receptor. These people actually need to go out and get more vitamin D. So, again, we're able to check these things. We're able to verify them. How many of the people that are out there right now have actually had a vitamin check where they actually take your blood and it's like sticking a dipstick in your engine and seeing how much oil it's got. But here we're checking your blood and seeing what's going on. Are you in any imminent danger of deficiency? Very few people are checked.
Yeah, and you know, Greg, I was going to say, you know, Catherine Austin Fitz read the brochure
yes.
Of the Moderna, and it said it's an operating system. An operating system. What does that mean, an operating system in your body? I mean, it's just like, dude. And then it said in the Pfizer that they could hook you up through your cloud and put AI, and it would control your actions. This is crazy.
Well, I've heard some things like this. You know, the troubling thing about this is that I don't know if anyone really knows getting any real information out of these people. Just as a lark, I called a couple of these companies in hopes I could get some information. Very, very difficult to get any information. They believe it or not, they don't consider, you know, us, the consumer, as the customer.
Right.
Possibly
we're the guinea pigs.
If you're with the federal government, you can get some information. But if you just call these people up just out of the blue and want to get a little more specific information, it's very, very difficult. So I'm a little uneasy making pronouncements in so much as I just don't know. What I do know is, let's face it, if you take a look at the numbers, the vast majority of the population who comes down with this virus is fine. The fact of the matter is, I mean, what's happened with the flu? Have you noticed that the flu has just completely vanished?
Right.
COVID cured the flu.
So,
yeah.
Huh?
It's like
COVID cured the flu.
COVID cured the flu.
If you turn on the news, Greg, like even the weather, it's like, oh, it's COVID weather. You're walking your dog, it's a COVID dog. Everything on mainstream media is COVID. COVID, COVID, COVID. It's like by last April, I had to turn off the television because I couldn't watch mainstream TV because it was just everything was just COVID. COVID. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, but we perpetrate it. We've been talking COVID for the whole, on all our shows, it comes up for the last year. So we're compliant.
Yeah. Well, the sad part about this, of course, is people have forgotten about overall general health. And most
right.
people still do not recognize the fact that they really don't know what their health status is because nothing has really changed in the medical arena. They're still
right.
doing things in a limited way. They're getting limited information. They're getting partial blood counts, but they're not getting really any deeper information. You know, for the last 50 years, our practice has been all geared towards identifying what's going on with your, biochemical individuality. We're checking, for example, the basics of what we refer to as nutrition, pollution, and stress. And through the analysis that we do there, we get a much more complete picture as to who you are and what your vulnerabilities are in hopes that, you know, we can actually, you know, put off for some time in the future anything bad happening. Most people in this country wait for something to happen. And let's face it, most people don't want to go see a doctor if they can help it. But the ideal time to go see a doctor and get checked out is before you have a heart attack, before you have a stroke, and before you come down with cancer. So our program, based on three major areas of study, nutrition, pollution, and stress. So what does that mean? Well, first and foremost, as I said at the outset of this, are you malnourished? What's going on with your nutrient levels in your body? And how well is your body using those nutrients? So we have a complete vitamin mineral panel that we wind up running, and we're able to do intracellular blood testing on that to see how well you're using those nutrients. Then, of course, pollution. Are you toxic? I mean, for the longest time, people were not really taking things too seriously when it came to being around everything from pesticides, herbicides, heavy metals. This was a huge leap forward in 1968 when my dad started the hair test and recognized that many patients were toxic, in particular, psychiatric patients. It was across the board. People were loaded, especially back then, with lead. So we're able to identify these things. And these things are completely under the radar. Most physicians are not even thinking about this. And then, of course, the real focus on our work has been really in the area of stress adaptation. Because let's face it, our blood chemistry functions in a way to help us to adapt to whatever situation that we're facing. So when we're talking stress analysis, we're talking about hormone and hormone imbalance. We're talking blood coagulation and clotting activity. Is your blood getting thick, which is going to put you at risk for all major disease, heart disease, stroke, cancer, blood vessel damage. And lastly, on the side of methylation and genomics, where we get a complete picture and find out where you are in jeopardy in the methylation and genetic cycle. You put that information together, and now you've really got some really interesting information. I'm not saying that all of modern medicine is bad and that there's not some valuable information that you get out of a typical blood workup of a blood count and a chem panel and a urinalysis. That's great information, but that's really talking about damage right here, right now. We're actually trying to go a little bit deeper and a little further out and find out whether or not you've got some vulnerabilities that may cause serious problem in the future. Unfortunately, most of the people who wind up coming to see us and have seen my father over the years, they have, in fact, been hit with something. And oftentimes, they've been into the medical system for years and years and getting nowhere and going through a lot of stress and a lot of trauma, and they're not better off. In fact, they've had years, many of them have had years of trouble, and they had no idea. It's absolutely incredible to see these cases when all of a sudden you can point and say, this is what's going on with you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Here's the problem I always have with modern contemporary medical whatever. Yeah, like you said, you can get all that information from doing a blood workup and a urinalysis and all of that, but when they find something, like when they say, okay, your cholesterol level's too high, so here's what you do. You take the statin. It's that cookie-cutter approach that they do. Take a statin. The doctors that I talked to never talked about, okay, let's review your diet. What's in your diet that's giving you high cholesterol level, if that's what you have? If you have something else wrong, okay, what's in your diet? They don't do that. They say, okay, you have to take this drug or that drug or this drug because – especially with the VA system, they're hamstrung by the regulations that they have to follow. What was that doctor's name?
You're right about that. And of course, let's face it, much of our health-minded awareness over the last 50 years has been based on this one solitary number, cholesterol. High number, right. Bad, low number, good, when in fact cholesterol is essential for every cell of your body. Half right. The people that have heart attacks and strokes have low cholesterol and perfectly clean arteries. And of course, a number of years ago, people like Kilmer McCulley, who was seeing patients who were suffering from extremely high homocysteine. These are homocysteine uric patients. These people had catastrophic homocysteine. Oftentimes they were dead before they were 20 years old, and they had, massive clotting activity going on throughout their body. It was incredible. And of course he recognized that this put this made it clear that the cholesterol theory is a myth, when in fact you can have something like homocysteine. Homocysteine alone can bring on a fatal event.
Right. By the way, most of Europe is a lot of the countries in Europe have killed the AstraZeneca vaccine over there because it was creating a blood clot problem in people.
Well, isn't that interesting? And of course, yeah, we just posted a little interesting write-up about the fact that those who have elevated homocysteine, homocysteine is a marker for negative outcome with lung disorders, specifically with COVID. And it's interesting to see the autopsies and the people who seem to have the most trouble with regards to negative outcome with COVID and fatality. So far, we've seen a number of them have had catastrophic clotting activity that's happening. And it would be interesting to do a family history and find out if these people come from vascular risk family histories. And it would certainly be interesting to know if these people had elevated homocysteine or fibrinogen or a combination, like lipoprotein A, small dense LDL, all these factors. You know, the interesting thing about clotting factors and coagulation, clotting factors, one in one doesn't make two. One in one might make 30. So it's worth knowing. If you've got a vascular risk family history and you could only do one test, I would certainly recommend everybody should know what are your clotting factors. And find out if you have this excessive out-of-control clotting. We've got a great article on our website called Homocysteine, the Key to Heart Disease, Stroke, and Cancer, which talks about this. And in fact, my dad wrote a chapter for Mitchell Genn in a book on longevity medicine where he introduced the concept of thick blood, the major ager, and how anticoagulation and ischemia leads to, you know, chronic inflammation and, of course, suffocation of the cells. People oftentimes are not aware of the fact that this is a habitual problem that's happening. They're actually living through a low blood flow syndrome. Well, low blood flow doesn't necessarily mean no blood flow. You can actually live through a low blood flow situation. You just might feel tired, get fatigued, not have your mental clarity. And you don't necessarily have a full-on clot. It may lead to a clot, a major clot, and a full occlusion at some time in the future. But leading up to that, you just have a ongoing situation of ischemic disease where your cells are being suffocated. So you get people with sports injuries, people who are suffering from fibromyalgia. They're, you know, it's a vicious circle. There's damage that's occurring, and the damage is getting worse and worse. It's not necessarily death. You know, modern medicine likes to think that all of a sudden one day, you know, you were healthy on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday, all of a sudden, everything went haywire, and then you started clotting, and you had a catastrophic heart attack. These things happen over time, and we have, again, the tools to be able to identify what's going on. What's going on with your blood coagulation? What's going on with your vitamin levels?
Well, then, how come that's
not your body using those nutrients? And how come no one is really checking?
Well, I was going to say, how come that's not part of like your routine physical that you got to get every year?
You know, it's really simple. I love this. I was talking to someone about this the other day. I had a friend of mine who's very cynical, who really buys in. He loves all the machinery. He loves going into, you know, these medical institutions. He feels reassured when he sees people running around in these nice white lab coats and all the big machinery and, you know, the MRI machines and all these incredible things that we can do if you have a catastrophic accident. And he asked me, well, why isn't this just being done? Well, it's very simple. It's very demanding. You know, most physicians are just like, you know, a mechanic. I mean, they want to take the path of least resistance. This is a very demanding world for most physicians who wind up saying, I want to provide quality medical care for my patients. I want to understand them in a much deeper way and understand what's going on with their biochemistry. And it means you have to study biochemistry. You have to learn about the biochemical pathways of the human body. And you have to understand how subtle these things are and how these nutrients all work together. You know, the concept of modern medicine and allopathic medicine is one drug, one disease, you know, but you get vitamins and interactions of vitamins that are working together in synchronicity to make your chemistry work. And if you don't have access to those nutrients and if you're deficient, the system just doesn't work as well. You know, and it can be a much more cerebral process. So a doctor has to work a lot harder at it. Number two, doctors like to be paid. They're just like everybody else. They want to be able to pay their mortgage. And by the time they get out of medical school, usually they're already in significant debt just to begin with. And now you're going to create a situation where, well, we're going to make it a little bit more difficult for you. So if you get into the Medicare system and you treat Medicare patients, Medicare will not pay for anything that's outside of the conventional medical model. And in fact, they actually have they've actually criminalized medicine. If you wind up billing for something that's not considered standard of care in the Medicare arena, you potentially could lose your medical license, all of your, you know, assets, and you could go to prison for something as simple as saying, I wanted to find out if my patient was malnourished. I ran a blood test. You run a blood test that's outside the norm and that's what's running medicine today. So most physicians, they don't want the headache. The last thing a medical doctor wants to do is to explain why he did what he did and write a letter to an insurance company and have an insurance company say, we don't agree with what you're doing. We're turning this over to the medical board. I cannot tell you the number of physicians that I personally know who have never had a patient complaint. In fact, they had another physician who contacted the medical board and said, this guy's doing stuff that I don't think is appropriate. And the medical boards have the authority to basically haul you into court, and there's nothing you can do. And the number of physicians, for example, in California, this hip, cool state that's so liberal, has been terrible for a lot of physicians who are practicing preventive care, alternative medicine. And it's not even fair to call it alternative medicine. It's just good medicine. Who could argue with the idea of getting laboratory data about whether you're malnourished, what's going on with how your body is, if you're toxic? How could anyone argue with that? Yet physicians who do this are jeopardizing their livelihood and their future by doing it. So you're really at a point where you're really talking about health freedom. Does the consumer have the right to have access to this information and have access to a physician who is integrating this into their medical program? And of course, the physicians that I know who are very conscientious physicians who are working in the arena of preventive orthomolecular, integrative medicine, they're using the standard protocols. They're getting a CBC. They're doing a full physical on their patients, but they're also getting more information and they're learning more about the subtleties and what's going on with their patient's biochemistry. So the real question I have is, and really the audience should be asking this as well. Do you believe you have a right to access this? And if so,
why wouldn't you?
Understand that, this is a real challenge. I mean, we're experiencing it from a number of points right now where people are basically saying, the big tech companies are saying, if you disagree with the conventional medical models, if you disagree right now with the CDC and the powers that be, you're going to have your information removed and possibly you will become persona non grata on Facebook, Twitter, and yada, yada, yada. So there are groups that are out there, and I think we have to come together. As you know, I'm the vice president of the National Health Federation, and I'm now on the board of advisors of another group called the Future of Medicine Foundation, which is in the process right now of raising funding to conduct studies like intravenous vitamin C studies in treating COVID and other diseases, and putting together the resources to be able to fund this kind of research that will unequivocally show, the power of this medicine. And I would say it's very important for people to get information about things like the National Health Federation. I encourage everybody to become a member. We put out a very wonderful quarterly magazine called the Health Freedom News. And we also are striving to protect individuals, not just here, but worldwide. There's a lot that's happening right now in terms of our rights being abridged, and people need to understand we need to come together to fight these things.
Right, and I was going to say, though, this is not something that's a new phenomenon. And look what happened with Max Gerson when he was putting out his studies, you know, that 50 cases, and he got dragged up in front of a Senate hearing to determine whether he was saying was true.
It's absolutely incredible. If you've been in this arena long enough, I mean, especially from in the original days, you know, my father was really very lucky. He had a number of run-ins, but he was very fortunate because my dad was a very powerful speaker, and he was able to counter all these things. In fact, at one point, my dad was on the cover story of a 1972 article in Prevention magazine. Was my father's work. And this really was the landmark article that introduced the world to the concept of nutritionally oriented medicine, orthomolecular approach, and holistic concept. Basically saying things like food is good. Nutrition, using the N-word, nutrition is important. And after that article came out, my dad was brought up on charges by the San Francisco Medical Society. He was chastised and brought up under numerous charges by the hospital that he had privileges with, because occasionally he had patients in the hospital. He completely got away from that after 1972. And he was maligned in the newspaper. Slanderous statements were being made, and ultimately, you know, my dad won. But this is a common occurrence. They are very systematic about it. The medical boards of the states really are operating for the general public. They should understand this. The medical boards are operating really in a restraint of trade, and they're trying to, you know, use power and intimidation to scare a lot of physicians. And so a lot of physicians say, you know, I just don't want to go there. You know, it's state licensing is very, very powerful, and when you've got that looming over your head, a lot of physicians get scared, and it works. But most of our friends who are, you know, the originators and the founders of the nutrition medical field and the orthomolecular medical world, each one of them has a story. And like I say, almost all of them are cases where there was no complaint. Imagine that. Right. Not a patient complaint.
Right. And well, look at even what happened with the American frontline doctors. Dr. Simone, who keeps giving out lectures and all of that, all they did was say, look, we're treating these patients with hydroxychloroquine, and they were fired from their hospitals. They were maligned in the press, called quacks and kooks and all that. And the thing is that you talk to any of their patients, it's like, we were getting better. What's wrong with you guys?
It's astonishing. There is a component of cancel culture which is invading all over this country. It's absolutely incredible. And we as a nation, it seems like we're losing our sensibility of being able to just talk about these things. You know, I'm reminded of the time that Linus Pauling almost received a third Nobel Prize. And he had some bad imagery. If he had had the proper imagery, I don't think Crick and Watson would have gotten the Nobel Prize for DNA. It would have gone to Linus Pauling. And of course, it would have been an amazing achievement had he been able to do it. But basically, he had been theorizing, because of the pictures, that there was a triple helix. And he knew he was wrong. but he put out his information in hopes that this would help science. And I think that a lot of people have lost that ability to understand. Even when people are mistaken, very positive things can come out of the dialogue. And it's terribly frustrating to see what's happening today when people are losing the ability to even have the dialogue. God forbid you say something that potentially offends somebody. And it's like, you know, you don't agree with me. You are now the enemy. I mean, it's mind-boggling what's happening. And, of course, people are being so dumbed down. I can't believe it. Here in San Francisco, we have people who are literally hysterical right now. They have been so beaten down and brainwashed about constantly having a mask on. I'm driving around and I'm seeing people in their cars with nobody else in the car, and they're wearing face masks in the car. Or people who are walking down the street.
Yeah.
And there's no one in sight, and they're wearing face masks. I mean, it's unbelievable.
I've seen people jogging, going for like a daily jog with a mask on. Yeah. I'm like, how do you even breathe?
Yeah, no, it's astonishing. And of course, let's not forget, you know, carbon dioxide will kill you. So. It's total madness. Total madness that we're living through.
It really is. It's like a never-ending story. It's just like, stop.
Well, you know, I wish I had an answer for it. I'm a little worried because, like I say, a lot of the dialogue seems to have stopped. People aren't interested in having the dialogue.
No, that's because they've been conditioned with a whole bunch of fear. Hold on. Will you shut up? I thought I turned my microphone off. We got this new puppy here, and he's like he's almost 4 months old, little baby pit bull, and he has a tendency to bark, you know, just about everything when he wants something. But
sure, he's talking.
But he, I just lost my train of thought now, too.
Oh, no, we're talking about taking Oloa right away. You know, Oloa is really good for that. You know, you get it that weak point in the day. It's amazing. You just take a packet of Oloa, add a half a glass of cold water, and it's incredible how it sustains you.
Yeah, I actually feel so much better when I do take it. And I think I mentioned this once before. It's like I don't notice a change so much when I'm taking it. It's when I stop taking it, all of a sudden I can feel like, okay, now my body's telling me it's missing all that stuff that I was putting into it before.
I take it every day, Nick. And I take the B every day. I mean, I swear by it. So,
well, it's really interesting. You know, the simplest test you can do is I have people who tell me, you know, I've taken vitamins, I've never felt any different. And I get people who tell me that's incredible. I was at a low point in the day, I took a little Oloa, and I felt like a new person. And I tell them that, well, in its simplest aspect of what you're experiencing there, you know, your body is telling you that you need something that's in our product. And of course, you're getting, you know, each of our packets is replacing roughly a dozen vitamin pills. But it's so gentle on your body, you can take it with or without food, even on an empty stomach. You're getting 36 vitamins, minerals, amino acids, digestives, electrolytes, osmolytes. You're getting a form of vitamin C that becomes, as soon as it mixes, you're getting an ionic soup. So you're getting a buffered vitamin C. So you're getting mineral complexes and mineral ascorbates. And you're getting a very strategic formula that is addressing the issues of methylation from start to finish. And of course, methylation has become the highlight really of our work with patients, in so much as the methylation cycle is the adaptive mechanism of the human body. And this process, this simple process of being able to utilize carbon in the body, this carbon reacts with vitamins and key enzymes, these cofactors, to produce hundreds of products, basically about 400 to 500 physiologic, you know, biologic end products that control and regulate every aspect of your health. So you're talking heart function, circulation, digestion, detoxification, immunity, brain function, and energy regulation of the body. I mean, the number one reason why people, you know, tell me that they wind up turning to vitamin supplements is that they're feeling like, you know, age is starting to affect them and they're getting weak. So many people I know who would contact us say that I was living on caffeinated drinks and they can't believe how good they feel when they start using our product. And of course, through that methylation support and the methylation cycle, your body is making things like creatine, carnitine, coenzyme Q10, calmodulin, and SAMe. These are all the energy regulators of the body, which control muscle energy and cell energy. So it's a wonderful way to restore yourself without having a stimulant. So our primary product, of course, is our multivitamin, which we call Energy. It's kind of a play on words. It's really kind of like fuel. And ultimately, it's the simplest, easiest way to fill in the gaps. You know, I get people all the time who tell me, well, I don't need vitamins. I exercise and I eat well. And of course, if you ask them if they've ever checked their vitamin levels, I've never had a single person who's ever said that, who's ever checked their vitamins. In fact, you know, my father referred to that in his first book, Mega Nutrition, as the nutrition death sentence. The idea that you get everything you need out of your food is the nutrition death sentence. And of course, you know, once my dad started checking patients' blood, it changed everything about how he practiced medicine. I mean, rarely do you find anything in medicine that's 100%. But in essence, every single patient, especially sick patients, 100% of them are malnourished, right, and have nutritional deficiencies. It's across the board. And no one is checking. I mean, it's incredible. That's why oftentimes you see people who, you know, they get into a hospital. And of course, you know, we have a simple rule. If you're well enough to walk into a hospital, don't go.
That's a good one. I like that. But what's really interesting to me, though, too, is you see these people that, oh, I don't feel well. You know, maybe they're overweight or whatever. And you go into the grocery stores and you see people like them, and what are they doing? They're buying everything out of the center aisles, you know, boxed food, this, Hot Pockets, frozen pizzas. All this other stuff.
People have lost their connection with food.
Yeah. And the one that really amazed me, somebody that I saw with a shopping cart full of soda, and they, I'm eating good. And it's like, no, you're really not.
It is absolutely incredible. The number of people who exclusively drink soda is astonishing. And the volume by which they drink this stuff is absolutely incredible. And of course, you're right. If you take a look at shopping baskets, shopping carts in America today, the number of people that are in the center aisle is absolutely tremendous. It's absolutely incredible, especially if you go to, you know, places in Europe, you spend a little time in Italy, and you see the care and the love that goes into food and the respect that goes into food. You know, it was funny. I don't know if you saw the Michael Moore movie, but he was showing, you know, kids' lunches in America versus France. And he would show the French chefs that were making the food for the children in France, American lunches. And the French chefs said very simply, that's not food.
No, then you can contrast it with what Morgan Spurlock showed in Super Size Me when he went to the schools and showed how their lunches were prepared.
Oh, yeah. No, it's important. You know, I was very lucky. You know, my father's diet plan, which he'd started developing in 1955, he wrote his medical thesis on carbohydrate, impact of carbohydrates on diet. And later, he developed that program into what was called the orthocarbohydrate diet, based on developing your personal understanding and how you feel at your best with, you know, your balance of proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. And I was very fortunate because I got into this very early on. I couldn't drink soft drinks as a kid. I had been lead poisoned as a child, which was my first big hit. And when I would start drinking soft drinks or getting too much carbohydrate, I would suffer terrible headaches. So I learned early on how powerful food and nutrients were. And I learned early on that I did much better on a lower, a moderate carbohydrate intake and was much happier with a balance more of fats and proteins. And it changed my whole life. And of course, once I added the vitamin C and other nutrients, and as I detoxified the lead out of my system, it had a huge, huge impact on my life. I mean, I was literally, if you can imagine this, when I was a kid, I was a bit hyperactive and somewhat out of control. And I am sure that if I were growing up today in any other family, it would have had me on medication right away. Right. And no one would have identified what was really happening. And it was fascinating to see my rise as I went from grade school, where I was really out of control, and then got nutrient therapy happening at about age 8. And I was struggling with it at first. The idea of being, you know, having to take vitamin pills. I mean, I got to high school. I was the only kid in high school that was doing vitamins.
Wow.
I was the only kid in high school I knew that actually would eat sweetbreads and was really, you know, craving wonderful food. And so it's made a huge impact on my life. And of course, I've been very fortunate because I've seen so many people who were suffering so terribly going through the medical system and then seeing these transformations. To see, you know, schizophrenics when I was really young, my dad would literally transform schizophrenics who you would think there's no way these people could recover. And they would be like completely different people 90 days later.
Well, yeah, that's one of
my father's program.
I was going to say, one of the other things that they showed in that Super Size Me movie was when they would go to the schools, all these kids that had ADHD, you know, the doctors would be prescribing them Ritalin. And what this one school did was all they did was change their diet, and it calmed them right down and normalized the way that, you know, their thought processes.
It was incredible. In fact, one of the things I'm looking for right now is I'm going through some of our archives. My dad did a study in around 1973 at Napa State Hospital, and they were able to show by changing diet and introducing nutrient support, they were able to lower the amount of you know, violent outbursts in these facilities. They also conducted, I think, a series of tests where they did this actually in a prison as well. And the state of California, I think, supported and sponsored it, but they were not permitted to release the information. Can you imagine that?
Well, of course not. Then these companies that supply all this crappy food would be going out of business.
Well, hey, Greg.
Well, it's absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Well, my thing, too, is, you know, sometimes I'm standing in the supermarket. I notice what people are buying. And between the diet sodas, the soft drinks in the cans, and the Gatorade and all those and the monsters, those drinks with the
energy drinks.
Yeah, energy drinks.
Yeah, sure.
It's crazy.
Well, it's what's incredible is, and look, I'm not trying to take someone's pleasure away. If you want to have a soft drink now and then, okay.
Well,
moderation. Moderation is really important.
Right.
Unfortunately, what you typically find with people like that is they don't really have much respect or understanding as to how these adulterated foods are potentially impacting their life. And sadly, many of these people are going to come down with serious illness and become a burden on the medical system. And at that point, you know, the cat's out of the bag. The damage has already been set. And so it really is tragic. You have to have respect for the chemistry of the body, and you have to have respect for the elements that you're putting into the body. The fact that you gotta feed the machinery, just like you gotta support your immune system. If the nutrients aren't there, the immune system isn't going to work. And right now, as people are having hysteria, and then they're getting a false sense of calm that, well, I'm fine now because I'm getting this magic shot. No, you're not. You're not really taking care of yourself. And you might even be in more danger now after you get the shot than you were before.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, especially since that they skipped over so much of the protocols for actually making sure this thing is safe and all the other stuff, you know, all the trials that have to be conducted, just to rush it to market as fast as possible. I mean, who knows what the long-term effects of this are going to be? Who knows what the short-term effects of this are going to be?
No one can tell you that. I think that this the long-term effects could be way, way out, and we really do have no idea right now. What's troubling to me is, and again, if somebody wants to go out and have a shot, fine, you know, go get your shot, see how it goes. I hope it works out for you, and I hope you don't have any problems. But don't be fooled into thinking that you're now Superman because you got this shot. You still are at risk for all the major diseases, and in fact, you may be even more at risk. And the fact is, you know, generally speaking, the greatest risk with vitamins is not getting enough.
Exactly.
You know,
like I was saying before, I don't think anybody's overdosed on vitamins before.
Well, the fact is, these molecules are very, very powerful. You know, I mean, think about it. How long can you go without oxygen, right? How long does your body work when you have no vitamin C? You know, these are all essential for life. They're called vitamins because they're vital. Without them, we die. If you literally systematically just pull all your vitamin C out of your body, you are dead. Okay? And modern medicine is losing sight of the fact that nutrient deficiencies can be fatal, just as nutrient deficiencies can lead to mental illness. And no one is checking. So it's very frustrating. And of course, you know, people have become brain dead about these things, especially when it comes to food and reading labels. We've got this label on the back there that has 100% this, 100% that, and people have some notion that if they just hit those levels, that they're ideal. These are known today as the recommended daily allowance or the recommended daily intake, but that's not how they started. When this whole system and nomenclature started, these were called the MDRs, the minimum daily requirements, and it really helped to inform the public that, look, this is just a minimum requirement. It's not an ideal. It's not an optimum. And people over the last 50 years have gotten delusional in thinking that at 100%, we're all just fine. Everything is hunky-dory. It doesn't work that way. And, you know, the more demands you put on your body, I love it when people say, well, I work out. I don't need vitamins. Well, if you work out, you put more demands on your body, guess what, folks? You have a greater need for nutrient support. If you're around poisons, you're going to need more nutrients to be able to produce glutathione so that you can detoxify. It's so unfortunate that people are actually, you know, living through, like I say, it's a delusion. And the medical field is notorious for this. The medical field in large measure believes that, you know, drugs work and that vitamins don't. It's one of the most dangerous delusions that exists.
Yeah, you go to the doctors and they give you all these medications and it's like, well, I'm going to be perfectly healthy now, which is usually not what happens.
Well, you know, Greg?
Well,
you know when they did this, when COVID came out, they didn't tell, like, you know, like, I started upping my dosage of vitamin D, vitamin C. I started taking your B. I was taking the Olola package. They didn't tell people to, I upped my level in zinc. They didn't tell people either to take extra quinine or just have quinine in the house. They left America wide open. And threw nutritional products out the window.
Hey, we're out of time.
Incredible.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. It was great hearing from you.
Great to hear you guys. Aloha. Anytime I'm here for you. You know that. I love you guys.
Thanks, Greg. Love you. God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Revolution. Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not.